Hi, I'm Haley Sue Robinson with the City of Pueblo. Come take a ride with Zero Fare for Better Air, where bus fares are free for June, July, and August on all Pueblo Transit and City Lift rides. Riding Pueblo Transit is easy and convenient with 12 routes throughout the city. All bus schedules are kept up to date on the city's website at www.pueblo.us. Visit Pueblo Transit online or come take a ride for yourself, starting at the Transit Center, located at 123 Court Street.
All right, hello and welcome to the Voices of Pueblo podcast. I'm Ben Kaysen here with Walt and Levi. Walt, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent.
Dude, it's so good to have you in here today.
Yeah, I appreciate the invite.
So Walt is the site project manager for the Assembled Chemical Weapons Alternative. He's been a big part of PCAP and the entire thing going on out there. And so that's out on the Chemical Weapons Depot. So I've been able to, you know, be a part of, you know, coming out there and checking out what you guys are doing. We wrote an article, got to know you guys a little bit. It's such a huge accomplishment. So first off, I want to just start off by saying congratulations on all the work you guys have done.
Thank you. Yeah, you're exactly right. It is a huge accomplishment. Every day we get a little farther away from it, yeah. We realize just how monumental it was.
Absolutely. So for people who maybe aren't familiar with what you guys have been doing out there, what's this last few years been like? What have you guys been working on?
Excuse me. So, you know, we started construction of the plant in 2008. Okay. Took us about 6-7 years to build the plant, systemize it, train the workforce. In 2016, we actually started destroying the munitions. A little over 780,000 munitions were in the stockpile. And so recently on 22 June, we completed the last munition. So, roughly 6 years, not quite 6 years to destroy 780,000.
That's a mind-boggling number to me.
It is a mind-boggling number. Yes. Those munitions represent a little over 2,600 tons of mustard chemical agent. So,
wow. And it was all mustard agent.
Stockpile, it's all mustard chemical agent.
So how long have you been involved with the project, Walt?
I've been here since 2008. Okay. I came in the fall of 2008, started construction, and not found a reason to leave.
That's amazing. So this is now 15 years of work on that. So can you like take me back? What was it like 2008, you guys first find out that this is the project and you start to make these first plans? What was that like?
I'll tell you from personal, it was exciting. Mm-hmm. It's not my first email site. This is actually my fourth. This is my fourth one. I got to start and build and work up. So, you know, getting here wasn't that daunting, something I've done before. But I could tell, you know, for the local community the contractors that we brought in, we are a contract-operated facility. It's not a government. That this was a huge challenge for them and something just working through, you know, the complexities of how to do it safely, how to do it environmental compliantly. Starting here, doing the design, doing the build, doing the systemization. So that whole, it seemed like a big task at the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just take it 1 week at a time, 1 month at a time, 1 year. And these 15 years have really flown by.
That's amazing. Yeah, so you mentioned there's safety challenges, environmental challenges. What were those challenges that you guys had to overcome?
Yeah, well, a lot for our plant, we do neutralization. Mm. Most of the baseline sites did incineration. So, and both the baseline and our plant do reverse assembly. Mm-hmm. So you take the explosives out of the munition, you separate out the liquid agent, and then you destroy all three of those.
Yeah.
Well, here is neutralization. Well, at a baseline site, since it's all incineration, that was all done remotely and robotically and went directly into an incinerator are very here because of neutralization. We had a middle step where we actually had humans go back and would touch the munitions and stuff and get them ready for the next process. So making sure that safety envelope was there for the workers was a, I won't say a challenge. We know how to do that. And do it safely, done it for a long time. But that was a nuance that, you know, we had to incorporate into the design and all of that and then verify as we went along.
You guys were saying some safety stats to us when you were out there. Like, talk to me about how has your crew been able to handle those, you know, weapons the way they've been handled?
You know, extremely well. The workforce, very professional, very knowledgeable. You know, they go through an extensive training program, depending on their background, anywhere from 12 to 18 months to learn their job, learn the safety aspects. We call it conduct of ops. It's really not what you do. For us, it's how you live your life. So you even take what we teach you safety-wise and take it home with you. You know, that's your commute, mowing your lawn, painting your house, whatever. Yeah, we live conduct of ops because safety is just not at work. It's what you do. Because, again, I want to send workers home in better shape than they come to work, but I also want them to come to work every day and not get hurt at home or that. So that's really how we think and how we operate. So doing that, and again, a lot of training, but, you know, being a federal installation, you know, it's a drug-free workforce. We emphasize that a lot. We actually have a special program called Surety where we look into and verify people's, I call it character. So we know your medical history, we know your financial history, and we know your criminal history, if you have one, and the what's where's, and then we make a decision on each individual based on that background. So, you know, very knowledgeable, capable crew, but a very trustworthy and crew.
So how much of your crew do you think is from the Pueblo area?
I'd say over the years, about 50 to 60% of our operational crew is from here. Now, when we were doing construction, it was a higher percent. We actually hired out of the local union halls and did that. So I'd say it was probably around 80% for construction.
That's awesome. So you mentioned that you've been at other sites. What did the Pueblo, how did the Pueblo workforce stack up against some of the people you've worked with in the past?
Well, I'll tell you, they're my favorite for a lot of reasons. And I'm not sure why, but but they are my favorite. But all of the, a lot of our crew, so about 80% from here are, I mean, about 50 to 60%, the majority of them came from the other sites. So they brought that background, that work mentality with them. We really wanted to make sure there was a good mix and had that background again. It compares favorably, but it's still my favorite.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. That's super cool.
Pueblo Transit is partnering in the community for Zero Fare for Better Air, with events like Pueblo's Care and Share distribution on June 28th, July 26th, and August 23rd at Praise Assembly on Troy Avenue. Pueblo Transit is also providing special shuttles to Pueblo Pride on August 20th at Mineral Palace Park, and offering free service from downtown on Main Street to the Colorado State Fair from August 25th to the 31st. Zero Fare for Better Air is all summer long in June, July, and August. Let's get back in the episode.
Yeah, so one of the most interesting parts of the story to me was you guys deciding to do the neutralization followed by the biotreatment instead of, you know, the normal way of kind of, you know, the incineration, right? So for y'all, what was that process like coming up with that process? What was the run-up like to set up the system you have now?
That was kind of before I got here, but I was aware of it in my previous job. You know, there was a tremendous amount of input from the local community. Mm. They were adamant that they did not want incineration in this community. Mm. There were other legacy environmental issues around, I won't name them, but quite a few. So they didn't want to go down that path. They wanted something new. So it took about 4 or 5 years for the government to go out and solicit various contractors, evaluate designs, those type things, to finally settle on one that they felt comfortable, met what the community wanted, and met the needs of the government of being protective of human health in the environment, and was cost effective.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible system. Being around it and seeing, you know, the because it's very robotic, like you mentioned. I mean, we got to see kind of the life cycle of the munition going through the system. I mean, like, you guys are recycling water. You guys are, it's incredible.
Yes, we are very, and that was another factor that we had to be very conscious of, being in Colorado, the semi-arid climate.
Yeah.
We use about 100,000 gallons of water a day. Can't be wasteful.
Yeah.
So we figured out how to recycle about 90% of that water on a daily basis. So, again, that's a tremendous part of this project of, you know, there's a problem, an issue to solve, and we figured it out and, in my opinion, did very well.
I agree. Yeah. So I guess I don't need a specific number of this, but just like, how many people do you think in general have been involved with the process from start to finish?
Boy, I'm not sure I could guess. It's in the thousands.
Yeah.
You know, our typical workforce through operations was about 1,600.
Okay.
I'd say we would probably change over a couple hundred of those every year.
Yeah.
You know, people retiring, moving on, other life endeavors. And for construction, we were probably in the same number, 1,000 or more.
Wow.
And, you know, depending on what part of the construction we're in, where we drew, which union hall and stuff we drew out of. But so we've made a tremendous, I'll say we made a tremendous impact on the local economy and the community. And I think it will be an endearing one, or a legacy that we'll leave behind because of just the sheer number of people that's passed through our project.
Yeah. So one of my favorite things of talking to some of the workers, and I think talking to you on the day you guys destroyed the final munition, there's this pride in the work that you guys have been doing. Almost, you know, for the good of the world, you guys are doing that pride. Talk to me about that. What's that been like for you and your crew?
Yeah, you're right. This crew, workforce, does have that. And I'll say that's a tone that's been here since I got here. You know, that was something that as senior managers, we wanted to put out to the workforce. That's really what we wanted our workforce to do. We wanted them to own the process, not just be employed by it, but to own it.
Yeah.
You know, we've always stressed, especially me, you know, we're part of the community. Mm. We're just not some company or entity at the edge of the community. We are part of the community. We employ people from the community. We buy goods and services from the community. And we give back through charity and other things through the community. So we've always stressed, and I got to give my counterparts on the Bechtel Pueblo team credit for having that same vision and stuff that I do of, you know, let's make sure the workforce owns it and make sure we're part of the community and take that back wherever we go.
Mm. So after all these years of you guys working towards this goal, what were your emotions like that morning when you did the last one?
You know, I can't remember who I was talking to, but it reminded me exactly when my wife and I had our child. Mm. You know, it was so exciting waiting for that day. it happened, and then you immediately start thinking, well, what now? You know, it was a great accomplishment.
That's good.
But it was just, okay, what now? Where do we go from here? Mm. Not only personally, but as a project, you know.
Yeah.
Where do we go? So that kind of resonated with me for several days. And I'm sure every worker had their personal kind of thought process or that they left. I call it kind of a hangover, a fog. Yeah, you could tell we walked above the ground for a good 3 or 4 days, just taking in the moment and reflecting on what we had just done.
Mm. So what now? What's next for the project?
Now we have to tear our facility down. Those parts that are contaminated and those that aren't that we can leave for the community, we got to put them in a condition and stuff that we can leave that for the community for future use.
Yeah.
So we're busily engaged in that. Again, it's the same discussion with the community, that same philosophy. What's your vision? What are you looking for? Here's what the government needs from a risk perspective and a legacy perspective, and working with the state regulators, how do we put all of that together and come up with a plan, again, that's safe for human health and the environment and something we can execute in the next few years.
Mm. So talk to me about the workforce, right? So you guys have all these people that have come in, and a lot of them knew that the job was going to sunset at some point.
Yes.
Where do they go next when it comes to their next jobs?
It'll be various depending on the person.
Yeah.
Again, there's people like me that's been around forever, maybe too long, looking down the road, within a few months or a year to retire. There's a good deal that, our younger parts of our workforce, they're going to be looking for something after we're done. And then there's those that are in between. And most of those will move on with the corporations somewhere else. So we're trying to work out for all three of those groups. How do we do something for those that are retiring? How do we work them in? But the group we're really looking at is those that need a job or a position.
Sure.
Post us, those that want to stay here, those that want to move on with the corporation.
Yeah.
So we've been having job fairs covering both of those. Mm. So we've had local businesses come in and pitch what they need, they want to our workforce for those who want to stay locally. And a lot of those businesses are planning on expanding or moving here in 2 to 3 years.
Wow.
So it matches our timeline extremely well. And then for those that want to stay with their various corporations, we've been bringing in those entities as well that have contracts in other parts of the country and letting them talk to our workforce and make that same plan and stuff. And that really works out well for us. Our workforce knows there's a home for me somewhere in 2 to 3 years when I'm done here. I don't have to fret and say, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. I don't have to go out and start searching now. I'm going to have, with relative certainty, know what my future is going to be. And I get to pick that future. So it's worked out really well.
That's good to hear. Yeah. So from like what you've seen, do you think that these other companies and these companies in Pueblo are really valuing the experience of being at the Chemical Weapons Depot?
Yes, very much so. Mm. They really like our safety record, our mentality. They really like how disciplined our workforce is. Mm. They just like our workforce. I can't brag enough. And, you asked me this earlier, why is this my favorite one?
Yeah.
I guess one of the reasons why this is one of my favorite workforces is I'm from Southern Colorado.
Mm.
Coming back here 15 years ago is coming home for me. Mm. So, I get to do this for my community with the workers and stuff from my community. So that makes it special.
What's it been like for you moving back to Southern Colorado these last 15 years?
Man, it's been fantastic. There's, you know, can't remember who said it, but there's nothing like home.
Yeah, for sure.
So it was great coming back here. Got to raise my daughter here, which was very special. So she got to have the same experience as I did growing up, and for good or bad and stuff. So it's been really nice.
That's really cool. Yeah. So talking about, you know, more about like the workforce and some of the individuals and some of the things that people have done, like walk me through some of the specific jobs that people would be having within maybe within Pueblo or, you know, that have come in that are a part of your crew. What does their day to day look like?
Okay. Well, we cover the gamut of almost every position known. You know, we have engineers all the way from, you know, certified professional engineers, those types. We have a lot of procurement people who are specialized in procurements. But we have a lot of people that, you know, maintenance. Their background is maintenance. They keep our plant repaired. We have people who specialize in operations. So those two groups, operation and maintenance, are in high demand here in Pueblo. People want somebody who can work in their facility and keep it running. So those two groups. And then, you know, everything from admin, you know, extensive admin group, our public affairs, outreach, communications. We cover a lot of work areas and a lot of occupations.
For sure. It's a massive team as well.
It is. And even if you expand outside our immediate workforce and what we get support from the depot, you know, they supply our firefighters for us and cover that. They supply our security, you know, dealing with weapons of mass destruction and stuff. You know, our facility is akin to Supermax down the road in Canyon City. They keep the bad guys in. We try to keep the bad guys out, but it's the same concept.
Yeah.
And, you know, they supply our utilities and stuff. So even if you broaden past our immediate workforce to the support we get, we cover a lot of needs or a lot of occupations in the local community.
That's really cool. So we talked a little bit about kind of the closing and the shutting down. Do you guys have like a timeline for or a goal that you're looking at for all of the deconstruction?
Yeah, right now we're looking at December of probably 25.
Okay.
Is our tentative target and working through that. So roughly about 30 months.
Gotcha. That's cool. That feels quick.
It does.
That's a lot.
Yes.
That's great. Yeah, because you guys, for those of you, because I got the opportunity to go do the tour, which was really cool. That building, the PCAP building itself, because you guys erected that just for the deconstruction process, correct?
That is correct, yeah. The PCAP facility was built just to do this. It's a unique, one-of-a-kind. This is all it can do.
Yeah.
It was very specialized. So, yeah, we'll tear down. And Congress has told us they've passed special legislation. We want, when you're done, take your equipment and facilities that just treated the agent or took apart the munitions. You have to destroy those and get rid of those. So by congressional law, we have to do that. But all the infrastructure around that supported those two functions, we can leave for the local community and do that. So there's a tremendous amount of infrastructure out there, you know, utility hookups. You know, we have a state-of-the-art control room. We have a state-of-the-art chemical lab. We have one of the probably best emergency medical facilities in Southern Colorado. So we have a lot of capability and a lot of legacy we'll leave behind.
Yeah, That's cool. And then you guys have already been giving away some of the igloos, correct? You've been passing those on?
We haven't. The depot, yes, which owns the igloo, we just reside on the depot. We not part of that chain of command, but yes, they've turned over several hundred of those igloos to Pueblo Plex, who in turn have been able to rent those out to the public and other companies in the local area.
That's really good to hear. That's super cool. Yeah, so most people probably won't have the experience of being out there while, you know, munitions are being destroyed and, you know, while the process is being done. Just give me day in the life for you, Walt. What was it like just seeing that all happen, seeing the process go on?
You know, it was long days. Start early in the morning, finish late at night. But, you know, just the daily progress, you know, was always very good. You know, start off in the mornings with, you know, planning meetings. What are we going to get accomplished that day? You know, various operation safety meetings, progress meetings throughout. And then an end of the day, what did we get done? What do we have to plan for the next shift, for the next day? So, you know, pretty much the same day, depending, you know, no matter if we were in construction or systemization or operations, all those days looked the same, just a little different focus and stuff.
That's really cool. And I know we're coming up. We're coming up on the Kentucky site finishing, correct?
They did finish.
Oh, they did finish. They already finished.
They finished. I can't remember the exact day. It was a couple of weeks after we did. They finished.
So how does that feel with them being done and now everybody's done?
You know, it's I think we were as happy for them finishing as we were for us, because that means the United States is done. And, you know, the State Department, the White House could tell the rest of the world, you know, America lived up to their promise, their commitment, and got rid of their chemical weapons. And, oh, by the way, we helped a lot of you get rid of yours as well. So, you know, it's been a great feeling. And again, I think we feel just as good knowing they finished as we did.
That's awesome. Well, hey, thank you guys so much for your service in doing that. Oh. I mean, it's an incredible accomplishment between so many different people. And we're really proud of you as a Pueblo community.
Well, we appreciate that. And, you know, it's been our honor and pleasure to serve this community. It is a special community, I think, for the project as a whole, but as I said, certainly for me, being from Southern Colorado, and having deep roots in Pueblo and the Arkansas River Valley, it's been especially gratifying.
That's super cool. Well, hey, thanks, Walt, and thanks for coming on the podcast, too. We appreciate it.
I love doing this. I think this is the funnest part of my job, is talking about the people and the project, so happy to do it, and we'll do it in the future if you would like. Yes, August 30th in the afternoon, 2 o'clock at the Convention Center downtown Pueblo. We're going to have an end of ops celebration open to the public. We'll have some dignitaries coming for that. Governor Polis will be here. A bunch of Pentagon dignitaries will be here. I believe Representative Boebert will be here, as well as a lot of the corporate heads. So a big event, big time. Again, another time for the community and the project to celebrate being done. So look forward to seeing you there.
I plan to be there. That sounds awesome. And so it's open to the public as well?
It is.
Good. So they need to sign up online or anything, or they just show up?
Show up, well,
great.
We'll find a place for them.
That's perfect. Awesome. Well, yeah, so go check that out. Again, it's August 30th at the Convention Center at 2 o'clock. So, sweet. Well, Walt, thank you so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Yep, you bet.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to The Voices of Pueblo, brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal. For Ben Kaysen and Walt, have a great rest of your day.
Zero Fare for Better Air is happening with Pueblo Transit all summer long in June, July, and August. Ride Pueblo Transit or City Lift free throughout the hot summer months. Leave the car at home, enjoy one of 12 routes offered throughout the city, and help save carbon emissions during the hottest time of the year. Need help finding a route? Call Pueblo Transit at 719-553-2723 or visit the website at www.pueblo.us. This podcast is brought to you by the City of Pueblo.